Mike?
Nice.
Oh, you burned it out early.
Oh, you used it. It's done.
Oh, no.
You have used your noise.
Guys, I don't think we can drink scotch without them knowing we're drinking scotch.
You have to get the straws.
We need to let them know that there's...
I know where the straws are, but you can't drink scotch out of a straw.
It's on purpose.
You can't drink scotch out of a straw. So actually, it's especially good to let them know that we're drinking scotch today, because we are drinking Dakota's scotch.
Ooh, okay. I think we can play this off.
Nice.
Oh, and now you both burned yours. It's like I have this superpower now, because I'm the only one who has one left.
Mary, we need you to use it! Use the...
Mike.
I will hold on to it until the end of the podcast.
I understand.
So we are drinking Dakota scotch that Dakota was gifted when he said goodbye to his other day job, because everyone loves Dakota at his other day job. But now Dakota works here full time all week long. Can't say it. Can't say it.
It's not how I like my scotch.
Let's do this.
I like it on the rocks.
Nice.
So I used to refer to the latter part of the week as the Dakota part of the week, because that was when we had Dakota here to help us out. And the earlier part of the week, we would run around and have to do everything for ourselves all the time. And now the whole week is the Dakota part of the week, which deserves scotch.
It's like when you go to the theater and you have to watch the intro and they make the Coke sound like so appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the generic cola. So appetizing.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're not driving, you can go pour yourself a scotch. We'll
have
wait.
Cheers.
Join us. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason and Dakota, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 16, and we are going to be talking about a topic that we get asked about all the time, which is conflict management. So, where this story started was that...
It's always a story.
That's the whole point, is that the kids had been home. We had a lot of snow. You may have seen our cute little podcast picture with all the snow, which for Seattle is a big deal. And we had the kids home from school for a long time. And then as soon as they went back, it was like a week they had off school. And then as soon as they went back, they had a day and a half. And then it was winter break.
There was plenty of room for conflict over that break.
Yes. And it was the end of winter break. And Cadence was fed up with winter break. And we had a kind of a breakdown of communication, and a hissy fit was thrown. And then we went home and had a long talk about conflict and came up with our new conflict management model that we are now rolling out at work. So we did a podcast on her podcast about looking at conflict management from kind of a teenage perspective. And now we're going to talk about the same model from a work perspective.
So at Arcade, we have a saying that is...
You don't grow up, you just get bigger.
Yeah, and many of the same principles and practices that we can use with our kids are very similar to the principles that we would use to manage our team. Because when we don't grow up, we just get bigger. Sometimes the language changes a little bit, but we're fundamentally the same people that we ever were.
It's true. So we are talking about conflict management. So do we have any housekeeping before we go into the topic? We already talked about scotch. We already talked about Dakota being full-time now.
Shirts are more along-moving, so Jarrett, you don't have to worry. You'll get your shirt soon.
Oh, just wait for it.
It's on its way.
Wait for
it. Get on it, Dakota.
Get on it, Dakota. And did we talk about the picture that Jarrett sent us?
No, not yet. We should share it on
I'm going to put it on the post for this edition because it is a most epic photo.
So get your jetpacks on, everyone. This one's going to be a wild ride. Nice. I'm trying that out.
Wild ride.
We should only try it out for maybe one podcast.
Maybe we're done trying that out now. Maybe it didn't work.
Hey, we'll see.
So the funny thing about Jason and coaching is that every time that we roll out a new model or a new thing, Jason starts using it pretty much immediately. Like, I explain the thing to him, and then that night he uses it in coaching. And that's been the case with this, and it's been pretty well received. And then, funnily enough, he had a meeting to work out some details over a project, and even in that meeting, the guys he was working with continued to point to the board mm-hmm. and bring up the points of our conflict management that Jason didn't even describe to them on purpose. It was just happened to be on the board because we were working on it.
It's very relevant.
So
It's phase zero, everyone.
It's phase zero. And he was like, is phase zero a thing? And I was like, just in my thing.
It can be a thing.
It is now.
Watch for it.
Everything is a thing.
Phase zero, we got a problem with you?
Yes, we have a problem. Well, I think the whole thing was, like, his stance was, because phase zero of the objective reality model of conflict management is the idea that all conflict arises from misaligned realities. I have a reality, you have a reality, and the truth is, nobody's realities really ever align. The truth is that reality is subjective, and everyone lives all the time in a subjective reality of their own. And the way that we find our tribe, the way that we find our friends and our family and the people we want to work with is that those are people whose realities align more closely with ours than the rest of the world.
So I had a conversation earlier in the week. We were talking about how divergent we've become as a people, mm-hmm. that more and more we're kind of pulling ourselves apart from one another. And when you kind of roll back to the inception of the internet, the beginning of the internet, the thought was, this is something that can bring us together. You could have the ability to meet people across the globe that you never have access to. You can date people that you would never have a chance to meet in your life.
See a lot of penises.
Or that. You'd see a lot of, I'll just call it, see a lot of that.
It's an oversaturated market, if you will.
Yeah. But then what ended up happening is we were better able to align our realities with other people who had same or similar realities mm-hmm. so that we were more and more, as time goes by, we're having to deal with conflict less and less.
So
which is kind of an interesting problem. Mm-hmm.
If I'm a super fan of Fushigi Yugi,
let's pick something more
which is an
accessible.
No, it's not accessible on purpose.
Okay.
Which is an obscure Japanese animated series. Then in the past, I would have to come out of that shell of being a super fan about this super niche thing that no one else knows about because I have to find other ways to connect with the people around me. Whereas when I can get online and find hundreds of people who are super fans of this and we can all just make analogies of every part of our life to this show and we can all just spend all of our time talking about how great it is and how much we love it, then that causes us by nature to withdraw more from the world around us, be less likely to make those compromises that put us in touch with the world around us. See, I was getting to it.
Phase zero.
Phase zero, misaligned realities. And yeah, you could go into all kinds of political discussions, mm-hmm. but Fushigi Yugi is nice and neutral.
Is it?
Oh, come on, that's an awesome show. We could talk about that show, but no one else would know what we're talking about, including Dakota, so we won't.
Hi.
Well, you build your own reality. You build a reality around you that we have to make guesses about what people intend and what they think and what they want and what they know. And we fill in the blanks the best we can about what everyone around us is thinking all the time.
Well, and with conflict, we start with different reality. My perception is different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a phrase that we use that came from you years ago that is fill in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't know the answer to something or I can't understand someone's behavior, if I see someone moving suspiciously or having... When people exhibit behavior that I don't immediately understand, I and all humans tend to fill in the gap. And what I mean by that is we'll make up the story, we'll fill in the rest of the story in our head. And when we tend to fill in that story, it tends to be in order to preserve our safety. So it keeps us from, it makes us go away or be cautious when there are things that we don't understand.
One of our biological superpowers is pattern recognition. And it's that humans, more than most other creatures, have an ability to look at things and to see patterns. And we're really good at seeing patterns and we can recognize them where they exist. We're so good at seeing patterns that we often see them where they don't exist. So this is the thing where you look at an outlet and you see a little face on there with like a little disapproving little circle mouth.
Yeah.
That's just like that, Dakota made the face. So we we fill in the gap. We complete the circuit. We put in the pieces that we can't see. And a lot of times we're right when we do that, but a lot of times we're not.
So there's the outlet analogy or racism.
Sure, but again, maybe we can stick to nice ones. Let's just stick to nice
ones. What kind ones?
Nice.
What
that's
kind of
different.
Ones?
Nope, I'm allowed to say nice ones. That's different. I did not use my word. I did not use my word. I'm saving it for the end.
Okay, let's go. So phase zero.
Phase zero of conflict management. So phase zero basically is to represent the idea that that is the starting point. That is before we do anything, before we do any work. If there's conflict between you and another person, the truth of the matter is you have a subjective reality and they have a subjective reality and they do not meet up.
I think we can all agree on that.
Nope.
You're wrong.
I have an objective reality. Bend to it.
And I think it's important that we recognize that no one lives in objective reality. I guess unless you have that weird disease that makes you unable to experience emotions or whatever.
But even still, inside of your own head.
Even still, yeah, I suppose
right?
You're right. That's true.
You're behind your own eyes. You can only see what you can see.
So everyone lives in a subjective reality. And we have to recognize that and recognize that the idea of objective, we both always want to think that we are the objective one and the other guy is the subjective one. But the truth is, we're both in a subjective reality and we have to acknowledge that. And until we can acknowledge that, we're not really going to move forward. So phase one is building a sort of temporary objective reality that exists just for the purpose of getting through this conflict.
So it's a shared reality.
It's a shared reality. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, I think I like that actually better than objective reality.
You're welcome.
It is a shared reality. Mm. So the idea of this...
Mic drop.
Dork. So the idea of this phase is that we want to build a series, a foundation of facts that we can both agree on. Knowing that when we get to phase two and we want to actually resolve our conflict, every single thing that we put forward in our resolution, in our search for compromise, needs to lean on these facts that are part of our shared reality.
So what can we agree on?
So we start out, so when my daughter and I were fighting last week, we were not fighting. When we were not seeing eye to eye. When we were living in subjective realities.
When you were in phase zero.
When we were in phase zero. She was upset because she was tired of waiting around for things. And she came here to cut an episode of her podcast. And I was working for longer than she wanted me to be. And she said, "Why did you invite me here if you weren't going to have time for me?" And... so then she kept, that was kind of the fact that she wanted to put into the shared reality, was that I had invited her to the office to record the podcast. And I didn't see it that way. And so what we did is we zoomed back a step. And I said, okay, where did this start? This started when you wanted to make an episode of the podcast. She says, yes, that is how it started. So now we've built our first fact. That's how it started. And then I said,
how did it start?
It started because she wanted to cut an episode, and she asked me if we could cut an episode. So again, this is a verifiable fact that both of us remember in the same way. So that is a place to start. Well, from there...
It's the beginning of shared reality.
It's the beginning of the shared reality. So then I said, okay, so then you texted me this afternoon and asked if you could come here and cut a podcast. She says, yes. And this is important too, because now... on this one, if she says no, I can pull out my phone and show her the text.
Was it somebody else?
I was actually texting Grandma.
So it's corroborating evidence. And I think especially, so with parents and teenagers, that's all great. But in construction-based conflict, it's even more important that we have our pieces of corroborating evidence. If you don't have the email in front of you, it didn't happen.
But in construction, we typically have access to more verifiable information that can help square those realities.
But we need to have it with us while we are walking through our conflict.
Yeah. We flagged this problem on the daily report 2 weeks ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. True or not?
But again, if you're sitting across the table and you say, "We flagged this 2 weeks ago," and they say, "No, you didn't," Hopefully you actually have that in front of you, because that will help you build the shared reality, because then they can look at it and either they're going to say, yep, that is what happened and we can move on, or they're going to say, no, you must have forged my signature, in which case we have a much bigger problem.
It's a different problem, but then that becomes part of the reality that we have to pin down.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the areas that I'll focus on when we're trying to clear up disagreements or clean up conflict is the idea that we need to separate the issues as much as we can. We need to put the facts and the parts of the story into separate lanes as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we can separate confounding issues, then it makes it very clear what kind of problem are we dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Are we dealing with personality issues? Are we dealing with communication issues?
Mm-hmm.
Are we dealing with just plain misunderstanding?
Mm-hmm. It's important that we build our shared reality one brick at a time, one piece at a time, one working part at a time. So from there, with my daughter,
yep.
So...
With your daughter.
Yep, coffee with my daughter. So we have both agreed that she initiated the conversation, that she texted me in the afternoon. So then the next fact I wanted to establish is that when she talked to me on the phone, I told her, you can come to the office and be ready to cut a podcast, but I still have to work for a little while. You're going to have to be patient. So bring some homework, bring a book. And she said, yes, I'm okay with that. And when I related it that way, she said, yes, I do remember it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did say that. But I was really tired of waiting. And I say, yes, I agree. You were really tired
of waiting.
Yes, I see that. So another important part here is the facts don't have to be objective. They can be subjective facts. It can be a fact about a feeling. It can be, I was frustrated because of this and this and this. And I can say, yes, I agree. You were frustrated because of this and this and this. And that becomes now part of the shared reality. Feelings are fine as long as we both agree that that is what we perceived as happening.
So what about facts or perceptions that we can't corroborate?
That we don't agree,
mm-hmm.
and we can't corroborate?
Yep.
Those get thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's an example?
Well, when she said initially that I invited her,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I don't see it that way. And she said, you said I could come. And I said, that's not the same thing as an invitation. And she said, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, that piece about whether or not it was an invitation was a thing that we didn't agree on. So we had to throw it out.
So oftentimes, we'll get pulled into the weeds fighting about these little details that don't help anybody's story necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And they most certainly don't represent a shared reality.
Mm-hmm. And when you hit those points, look for a way that you can zoom back. Look for a way that you can sort of pull out, and is there a word in what they said that is what doesn't? Do you think that everything they're saying is untrue? Or is there one word that if you changed that word, you would then agree with them? Can we somehow make it more objective, make it more palatable? And we work back and forth with these statements until we get a statement that both sides can agree is true. And it's usually not that hard to do. Usually you can just take a step back and find the way. Again, you invited me, you said I could come.
Mm-hmm.
You invited me, I didn't agree with. You said I could come, I did agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So by turning those words just a little bit, we can come to a place where we both agree that the thing is true.
So then as we're developing the establishment of the shared reality, what happens?
We are suddenly working together. So if we're both standing in phase zero and we're both in our misaligned realities, then all that's going to happen is I'm going to shout at you what I think is true. You are going to shout at me what you think is true. And we're both just going to basically keep shouting. And I think all of us have been there. Whereas once we start making an effort, so if we really do both agree that we're going to solve the conflict in this way, we really believe that we're going to get to phase two and we're going to try to make a compromise based on this shared reality, we are suddenly both much more motivated to get our facts into the shared reality. I want the pieces that are important to me to be a part of that shared reality so that I can try to get closer to the outcome that I want.
So Dakota, when most people are dealing with conflict or faced with conflict, what is the typical response?
You just don't understand. You're not listening. Stop interrupting me.
Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm.
biologically, we could call that fight or flight, right? Where we're faced with some kind of conflict, some kind of confrontation, then the majority of folks will either try to fight the conflict or run away from the conflict or postpone the conflict as best they can. But I think one of the most beneficial angles that we can take is to try to get really curious about the conflict, to try to understand more about where it's coming from, because typically when there's a misunderstanding, there's power and there's potentially benefit for everybody in having a better understanding of where that's motivated from.
Well, and you say you aren't listening, you don't understand, and when we come to that place in a conflict, then again, if we both just kind of keep pushing our own agenda, then we just keep feeling that way. Whereas when you say, okay, you said this sentence, I don't agree with that sentence because this word needs to come out of the sentence. The word invited needs to come out of the sentence. And we need to put in, I said you could come instead. How about that? Does that reflect it? And then now you hear part of what you said kind of given back to you. So you know I was listening to what you said. And now you can decide for yourself, does that still reflect what you were trying to say? And if it doesn't, then you can parry another thing back at me. And we can keep moving back and forth until we push this into a shape that both of us can recognize. So because we worked together to build that shared reality, not only do we now understand things from a more similar point of view, because we did build the shared reality, but we worked together to build it. So now we're a little less angry, we're a little more calmed down, and a little bit more ready to actually work through this thing and get to the bottom of it. So then that is phase two, is you just start to put what you want on the table and back up why that's what should happen using only pieces from the shared reality.
Or why that's what you believe actually happened.
Yeah, and if your shared reality can't back up your side of the conflict, then you either need to work harder to get pieces into that shared reality that fit your model, or recognize that you got nothing to stand on.
Well, you said this, and I was upset by that. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. There's often times where you'll say, yeah, but I was upset with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to have a conversation. Did you mean to upset me by that? Did I misinterpret that?
Mm-hmm.
Did I put more weight into what those words could have meant than what they did mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and if I were having that conversation and you said I was upset by what you said, now I need to think about what I said, because I feel one of two ways. Either I feel like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. Like, I got upset too. I shouldn't have said that. So then that's how I can respond. I can say, you're right to be upset. I shouldn't have said that to you. Or I feel good about what I said, and I know that it upset you, but I feel like I was in the right to say it, in which case, probably then what I would say is, why did you feel upset by what I said? Why did that bother you? And even if I know the answer, so again, teenage daughter, so often she'll say, it really upset me when you said I had to just do my chores, and you just didn't even care that I was tired, and you didn't care that I didn't want to do my chores. It really upset me, right? And I'll say, why did that really upset you, though? Was it because you didn't feel like I cared about you? Or was it because you didn't want to do the chores?
And I think that's where the curiosity piece comes in, because mm-hmm. the better we can understand where that conflict is coming from,
mm-hmm.
the better we're able to manage the expectations or add clarification to what our expectation was.
Mm-hmm.
When Mary and I first got married, a common angle... Yeah.
You're not allowed to say that.
A common response I had to our conflict would be she would share something and say, I feel this way, or I'm really upset. And I would respond, well, you're wrong. And she said, I can't be wrong about feeling a thing, right? I still feel the thing. Even if you feel like my feeling is wrong, it's still real to me. And it probably took me 2 years to actually understand that concept, that even if I perceive that what you're feeling is misplaced or misguided, or I don't understand it, it's still valid. Like, the feeling is valid.
Well, and I think there's another good point there, that you have to validate the feeling before you can get into. So if you just say, you're wrong to feel that because I didn't mean a bad thing mm-hmm. by it, I'm going to get stuck on the you're wrong to feel that and never get to the you not meaning the bad thing by it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you say, I didn't realize that was going to hurt you. I'm sorry that it hurt you. Here's why I didn't mean anything bad by it. It's like, I think a lot of times we need to have a feeling validated in order to move forward from it. And it's really easy to say, well, we're all contractors working on grown-up,
mm-hmm.
man construction projects. We don't have feelings
there
about
are,
these
there
things.
There are no misunderstandings and there are no hurt feelings on any construction project.
I'm a big grown man. I've got smelly pits. I'm right.
I don't have feelings, right? And the truth is, if you're really upset because someone really did a dumb thing and you're mad now because they messed up and they ruined your day, and they come into the room and they lead by saying, "You're probably really mad about my mistake, and I'm really sorry that I made that mistake." You're going to react differently than if they come in and go, "Well, here's the thing about the mistake I made. I have a lot of excuses, and it's really not my fault." Now you're more mad. But having that feeling validated, having someone say, "You probably feel really mad about it. That shouldn't have happened." Then we can get into why it happened or what happened or why it wasn't really under my control or whatever.
Or how to prevent it in the future.
But we really need to have those pieces validated. We need to have that reflected back at us and have someone say, "I recognize that that didn't feel great when that happened. And regardless of my role in it, I'm sorry that that felt shitty."
So now we have a shared reality.
Mm-hmm. And now we're working towards our compromise. We're working towards resolving our conflict. And the truth is, that is the biggest piece. The finding the place where we actually know how to compromise and want to compromise is actually the biggest piece of the battle.
When we haven't even compromised about any of our disagreement.
We've
compromised about what reality looks like.
About our shared reality. And that's an easier compromise to make. If you have to give up a piece of what you were there to try to get, right off the bat, that's going to be hard to do. If you have to compromise by saying, "Okay, it wasn't invited, it was said I could come. Okay, it wasn't a change order, but I recognize that that change did have to happen, and I recognize that you did that work in good faith, but I don't agree to pay the amount that you want." That's a different place to come from. It's a less emotional, more objective place.
So now we have to start arm wrestling after we put together a puzzle. Together.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different place to come from. Mm-hmm. It's a better place to come from. And the other piece that I think is important to the model is once we're through that shared reality building phase and we move into the compromise phase, there are no go backsies. So
no go backsies?
No go backsies. That might be a good jetpack for this episode.
No go backsies is actually my band name.
That's a pretty good band name. Are you like a punk kind of?
We play everything in reverse.
Oh, I like it. That's
it doesn't sound
good.
Good.
It sounds like punk. That's probably punk.
Ooh. Ooh, nice.
You're not allowed to say that.
I don't agree to this shared reality. I don't recall me being the one to say we can only say nice words.
I don't either. I don't remember that.
I did not say that. You two came up with that amongst yourselves.
We don't agree.
We agree that we don't agree.
So if we get into it in the middle of it and we realize that we forgot something important in our shared reality, it needs to be important that we can't just start making changes to that fast and loose. That shared reality needs to be bricks. It needs to be unmovable. So what I suggest you do, if you realize that you really want to do that, is take a 15-minute break. So basically shift out of negotiating mode, take a break, and then come back and get back into shared reality building mode, hash that out, take another break, even leave it till the next day. By putting that time in between, not only are we distinguishing those as kind of very separate phases, we also are gonna basically not undertake that unless it's really important. If it's just some little tweak fact, I'm not necessarily gonna make this whole process a bunch longer by shifting gears like that.
So in our construction writing workshop, share the idea of leading with the lead. It's an old journalistic term.
Mm-hmm.
Leading with the lead means we put the most important piece first.
Mm-hmm.
And so after we've established the shared reality,
mm-hmm.
it's important to think about, what is it that we're trying to do here?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we're trying to get out of the situation? What is the one thing that we want to accomplish? And sometimes, I think most often, or many times, what we're trying to accomplish is just to get the other person angry. Because
mm-hmm.
we're angry or
mm-hmm.
we're hurt. And so if our goal is just to get the other person angry, that's something very easy to accomplish. Whereas if we're actually trying to accomplish something that is constructive
mm-hmm.
or something that will be beneficial to us or to them in the future,
mm-hmm.
we need to think about what that is, define it, and share it in some clear fashion.
And while we were coming up with this model, then Jason came to me and said, okay, I see the model and I think it's great, but what do you do if someone's goal is just to make the other person angry? If that's all they want is just to troll, mm-hmm. then what do you do with that? And the answer is,
I will filibuster. I will not yield the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I will stand here forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is not getting fixed.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is that there isn't a magic bullet for this. If both people don't want to cooperate, if they don't want to compromise in the end, then this isn't going to work. Nothing is going to work. If your goal is just to piss the other guy off, you are not ever going to get anywhere unless you can piss him off enough that you win by default. Which
just tire them out.
Some people get things done that way. But the truth is, what this model is for is when both sides really do want to get to a conclusion, they want a resolution, but they can't find a common ground. They have to both want to find a common ground, but just not really know a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we talked about with Cadence, our daughter, is that she said in her podcast, it's important to her that it is always part of this conversation that she can walk away if she wants to. We never use parental power to say, you are going to sit here and you are going to talk to us about this. Anytime she starts to push back and say, you know, I don't know why we have to talk about all these things. And the answer is always, then you can go take a break. You don't have to talk to us about this right now. Go ahead. Go take some time. Go be in your room. That's fine. And she sometimes even does storm off, but she always comes back. She always is in the room because she wants to be. And that is an important piece of the puzzle. If you don't want to be there, you're not going to get anywhere.
Especially when you don't have parental rights over that other grown adult
mm-hmm.
sitting in the room.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You will agree to my contract. No, I won't.
But I would argue that if we can get a hormone-addled 16-year-old girl to come willingly to the table and compromise that she was wrong to throw a hissy fit, you can probably make this work with an adult.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we've done that many times, but the important part is that I think that a common reaction is to just say, you know what, I don't want to deal with it. If I'm the employer, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to deal with it. It's not worth my time. And that's a viable option, but there is a very real cost of replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, if we don't invest the time in the relationship to understand where they're coming from, then we're just going to be in a cycle where we continually
mm-hmm.
let people go. We
mm-hmm.
continually have conflict. We continually aren't building our team and our relationships. So it's not just this one person.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't change my behavior, if I don't make different strides to get a better understanding of people in general, then I will be here in this conflict forever.
Mm-hmm. If you walk away from every conflict that you address, you're going to walk away from a lot of good situations and a lot of people that might have had things to offer.
And I'm always willing to explain my position to everyone
mm-hmm.
once.
One time. And that doesn't mean that you can't spend great length trying to walk someone through something when they realistically look at you and say, I don't understand. But when people expect you to just continually try to convince them of your position and explain things over and over and tell you why you're wrong and why that can never be the way and that will never work, you explain it one time and then you move on from that because it's obviously not getting any traction.
If we can verify that it's not a miscommunication,
mm-hmm.
it's just that they choose not to accept our reality,
mm-hmm.
and if we happen to have the authority to make some decision about it,
mm-hmm.
they need to sort out whether or not they want to be there, and if they won't sort it out, then sometimes we need to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll say another archaism is kids are just like employees, except kids are harder to fire.
Well, and as a manager, it's, you know, everyone wants to be the friend of everybody that they're working with. But often another thing that gets said in our house a lot is, oh, wait, you think we're still arguing about whether or not you can do the thing.
No.
That decision is already being made,
yeah.
has already been made. The conflict is over how you are going to get over the fact that you can't do the thing.
Right. This is coping. We're in coping
phase.
We're
in coping mode. We are helping you get past this. We're not arguing about whether or not this can happen. That decision has been made. That ship has sailed. You can remember.
The dark side, dark underbelly of Arcade.
You cannot go to the dance.
Yeah. How do you get to the dance? You don't.
Yeah, we should post a link to that one at on this podcast.
With this podcast. Speaking of which, she has literally never missed a dance. Not a single high school dance has she missed. You don't.
Okay. Is that it? So then what do you do?
What do you do?
So now we've established shared reality.
Mm-hmm.
We've negotiated understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we come to a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, and then we shake hands and we go have a beer together or a coffee or
lunch.
A paleo salad or whatever.
Paleo kale.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Lang, are you listening?
Or what's the other one? Jason Lang. A keto cookie.
Yeah, why not?
Are you saying keto cookie or a keto cookie? Because one sounds like it would hurt me.
I thought one is a dog.
That's Akita.
Oh. Okay. Doing my best to hang on here.
Whatever it is. Doesn't matter. After
my,
you
my
resolve...
shared reality, my part of shared reality is that an Akita is a cookie.
You would be...
I don't agree to that.
A Kung Fu
objectively
cookie.
Objectively wrong. After the resolution is made, though, it's always good. I know there were many stories about your career when you resolved a problem... And you went and had a beer with someone that you really did not want to sit across from.
Sure.
And that was okay, because that's how you start rebuilding that relationship. And it's a really important part of the process and something that you should always try to do.
Well, and I think in conflict, 99% of the time, if you can sit down at a bar stool with someone, or you can have a coffee with someone, or break bread with them, you can resolve 99% of the world's problems if you can just get face-to-face and understand each other as people.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Spoiler alert. We're actually all people.
It's true.
Except for the Cylons.
And me.
No, still people.
And me, because I'm basically God here, right?
So what's the jetpack?
We had one. It was no backsies. No backsies.
Wasn't Wild West?
No, it wasn't Wild West. It was Wild... What was the context?
Wild Ride.
Wild Ride at the beginning, but we said no backsies, and that is actually like relevant to conflict management. So I think no
backsies.
Yeah.
No backsies, it's been a wild ride?
Well, that's good, because Wild Ride's actually the name of... The horse I ride?
It's with a Y.
So how about this? It could be Wild Ride.
How do you spell ride with a Y?
R-H-Y-D-E.
So you just mean ride?
you're a rider.
Or it could be no backsies. Or it could be Wild Stallions in honor of the supposedly forthcoming Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure movie.
They're doing it again.
Which is relevant to the picture that Jarrett made for us.
Oh, Jarrett.
I love Jarrett.
Thanks for that, Jarrett. It made everyone's day.
It's true, it did. So, and now it's going to make everyone's day, because we're going to share it with everyone who listens.
We're going to share it with the world.
We're going to share it.
We're going to share it to all
Jarrett.
The Jarretts. All the Jarretts and Jarretts.
All the Jarretts and Jarretts out there who are interested in seeing this photograph.
Get ready.
Check out our podcast. Check out our blog.
Be the first one to share the jetpack, which was...
Either Wild Ride, spelled R-H-Y-D-E, or Wild Stallions, or No Backsies. Any of those three will be accepted in honor of Dakota's Scotch Day.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You can find us at... www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com,
or
you can find me on SoundCloud at Dakota the Rapper.
Everyone was getting confused with Dak Flota. They couldn't find you.
Yeah. Well, also, if your rap name rhymes with Lack Flows, Lax Flota, Lacker.
Lax Flotus?
Yeah, yeah.
First lady.
Any of those, you actually just get, like, wrapped off the stage. It's crazy.
You could see that.
You can find me on...
This is going to be total not truth, whatever he says. Go ahead.
Okay. You can find me on Sesame Street Does...
LinkedIn.
Doing my LinkedIn.
Doing my LinkedIn. We still got to make that.
Watch for it. It's coming.
You can find us on Twitter... @ArcadeWayfinder. You can find us on LinkedIn, Mary Sturgeon, Jason Sturgeon, Dakota Gates, and a business page for Arcade Wayfinding that we rarely post to.
It's a secret one. We hide it.
And you can find us on the iTunes podcast directory and most other places that you find your favorite podcasts.
We're going to cut a whole episode about how to listen to podcasts.
That's useless, because people who don't know how to listen to podcasts will never hear it, Jason.
Make sure we bury this in the end.
If you really want something cool, tell me how much you like how I move things around on the Arcade website.
Ooh.
And how nice it looks.
It's very nice.
It's very nice. So if you want a t-shirt, be the first one to get in line right after Jarrett and share the jetpack with us, and we will have those right out. We are 50% there.
Get on it, Dakota.
Get on it, Dakota.
I understand.
Noise. Stay tuned for outtakes.
Bye.
When I just said you were objectively wrong, and that's funny, because you can never say you're objectively wrong, except you can.
Well,
so
you just said it.
I say a lot of things you shouldn't say. Let's just get that established right now.
She
a lot
does,
of things.
All the time.
I'm a truck driver's daughter. I say a lot of things you shouldn't say. But the truth is...
Or it's a truck rat?
A truck rat.
In some circles.
It's, yeah.
I don't want to be in those circles.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm going to be honest. I have good memories. It's not a bad circle.
Oh, no. I've sat in a truck. I just don't want to be called a rat.
Sitting in a truck is not being a truck rat. Yeah. Truck rats are small, kind of greasy, dirty children who, and I
crawl,
can say that because I was one of them.
They crawl around the fifth wheel a lot.
They crawl around trucks and get grease all over them, and they run around the truck yard, and they play with the truck dogs, and they roll around in the dirt.
Play with forklifts and ratchet straps.
I'll have you know that I did not get $2 once for hitting my dad with a stick, even though his coworker said he would give me $2.
Sounds like some conflict.
That's
yeah,
nice.
I'm going to go find, I think his name was Sonny.
If you're listening, Sonny.
There's usually, when you're a truck rat, there's usually a guy that is around the truck yard who is, like, probably a little bit dangerous for kids to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, probably not the best thing for kids to be around that guy,
but
you
he
are.
Can move stuff around.
He's good at moving stuff, and he comes at a good rate, so.
He doesn't eat a whole lot.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Truck rat. Anyway, I say a lot of things you shouldn't say, but that's not the point. The point is, and there are certain things you can do that can lose human respect, and they're mostly really bad things. And in the same way...
Are you listening, Sonny?
Yeah, Sonny, that was really bad of you to tell Dakota to hit his dad with a stick. I hope you
feel
bad.
And didn't pay $2.
And didn't pay the $2. That's the part. You should have paid up, Sonny. Sonny, send $2 by check or money order if you want to make it right.
$2 by money order is expensive.
To Arcade Wayfinding.
FedEx, overnight.
Look us up online. Contact us. So the point is...